Zacchaeus, as always, was in a hurry. He was in a hurry because he had meetings to make, he had disputes to settle, and he had taxes to collect. He always had taxes to collect. Zacchaeus was hurrying across town. He was going over to the miller in Jericho. They had to have a conversation. And on his way, he heard whisperings, the people around him talking about this Jesus the Nazarene was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was going to pass through town. Now, Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus before, and he was kind of curious. There was something about this Jesus that he wanted to know more about, but he had meetings. He had a schedule. He had to keep it. And then he paused. And without a hesitation, decided to head in the direction of the road to Jerusalem. And off he went. He made his way through town, and he got out of town only to find people. Lots and lots of people. And trying to look over and around the people, he could not see Jesus. He decided to try one more way, and so he ran around the people, and he sprinted up ahead, and as he was running, his mind was racing. Why am I doing this? I'm getting too old for this. Why am I doing this? Have I lost my mind? And just as he is almost out of breath, around the corner, he sees it. The tree, with branches low enough that even he could climb it. And so he begins to climb the tree, one branch and then another. He hears the crowd coming. He manages to make it up one more branch until he is there in the tree. And the crowds are coming. And he sees the crowds coming, and he starts to inch out a little bit so that he can hear what this teacher is going to say. And he sees the crowds, and Jesus is talking with people, and around the edges, he sees the disciples, and they are weary, and they are wary. They're looking out for trouble. And as they get closer, he leans out and he can finally start to hear every word that Jesus is saying. And then Jesus stops. And everybody around Jesus stops, but they can't figure out why it is. And Jesus looks up. And there's Zacchaeus, safe in his perch, found, or more accurately, found out. So what is it that would compel a grown person, a man with authority and responsibility, to not only run ahead, but to climb a tree in order to see Jesus? What was it about Jesus? We don't know from our text. Was it his teachings, the miracles, this promise of the new kingdom? All that we know is there's something in Zacchaeus that compels him to take this most extraordinary step, or several of them, because he wants to see Jesus. So, even though he was there to see Jesus, my guess is he wasn't yet ready to be seen by Jesus. I'm going to make an assumption here, and I know that comes with all attendant consequences, but I'm going to assume that part of the reason why you and I are here this morning is because we want to see Jesus. The challenge is not just seeing, but then being seen by. Because one of the things that we know from our stories is that when people are seen by Jesus, they change. And sometimes I am not so sure that I want to change. So there's Zacchaeus, 12, 15 feet up in this tree. And there's Jesus, and all around Jesus, you got to imagine these are people that Zacchaeus knows. And Jesus, I imagine, is looking up and has a smile on his face. And he says, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today." This week, I've actually been wondering, is there any dignified way to come down from a tree in a set of robes? Did he jump? All we know is that he hurried down, right? I can only imagine that he, just wanting to see Jesus, now that he has been made worthy for Jesus to come to his house, I'm sure he's stunned, he's exhilarated, he's excited, he's stumbling on his words. He is ready. There's something to pay attention to here, friends. So, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he hid himself, right? He's up in a tree. Who would think to look up? But then there's this Jesus. This Jesus who, his very nature, his essential nature is to seek out and restore the lost. Right? This is one of the things we have come to know about Jesus as we've been working our way through these stories from the Gospel of Luke, that the very purpose, the very reason for being for this Jesus is to find those who are lost. And this is why I have hope today, friends, for any and all of us, for you and for me. Because Jesus wants to find us. Which is great, right? Zacchaeus, Jesus, they've met, they've had their moment, they're going to go off and eat. But of course, we may know that it's not always that easy. Do you remember that other story from Luke's gospel? There's this lost son. He has gone away and lived in what we've politely been given, dissolute living. He has finally come back. His father has recovered his son. And with tears in his eyes, he says, "Prepare the feast, and the dancing and the singing has begun, and it's going to be great, right? Except for the older brother." The older brother says, "What are you doing for him?" And that's what we hear today, right? All the crowd gathered around, they grumble. And this is one of the words that in English and in Greek, it sounds like it reads, right? They're grumbling. And they have good reason to grumble. Because the position that Zacchaeus holds is one that caused a great deal of suffering. Right, he is called in our text the chief tax collector. And tax collecting in those days is not the same as tax collecting in our days. Right, it's not just filling out your 1040 or declaring whatever items you're going to deduct and sending a check to your city, state, or federal taxes. No, this is kind of more like having to buy a used car from the empire every year, Because when you went to, when your taxes needed to be collected, often the tax collector would use and abuse their position. And every dollar that you paid in your taxes was going directly to the coffers of the occupier. There's a reason why John the Baptist by the River Jordan, why he said tax collectors collect no more than the amount, because the practice was full of extortion. These people had a right to wonder why Jesus could be eating a meal with someone who they saw as a sinner. And it makes this next part critical. Because Zacchaeus and Jesus must have shared a moment. And so Zacchaeus, in our text, it reads, "Lord, I will give half of my possessions to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone, I will pay back four times as much." Which follows a classic arc in American Christianity, especially in Protestantism, right? That arc of sinner that has done wrong, has realized what they have done wrong, and they repent, they turn around, they have this moment of clarity, and they are saved. But there are biblical scholars who look at this text and say that's actually not what the Greek says. The Greek actually doesn't point to a future tense of, "Lord, I will give." It's actually a past and continuing tense. So it actually should be read, "Lord, I give half my possessions to the poor. When I am caught cheating, I pay back four times as much." So what do we do with our story now? Well, it seems to me it kind of flips this arc, right? This repentance story. And then it's not so much about Zacchaeus, who is lost alone, and it's got more to do with the people around him. And the reason why we know this is because of what Jesus says next. He says, "Salvation has come to your house because he too is a son of Abraham." Several months ago, you may remember there's a story about a woman who is doubled over. She, as a woman who is injured, who is ill, is seen as unclean. And what does Jesus do? But he pulls her back into the circle, and he calls her a daughter of Abraham. Or you may remember last week, right? The tax collector and the Pharisee. And when you get to that closer reading of the text, what Stephen Crippen showed us was they went home alongside one another, both of them justified. Zacchaeus, too, is a son of Abraham. And Jesus doesn't just say this to Zacchaeus so Zacchaeus knows it. He says this so that everybody else who was there that day cannot miss it. Because salvation, one understanding of salvation, is that it is wholeness. It is a fullness with God. And it is a wholeness or a fullness with God that we cannot do on our own, by ourselves. This is one of the great untruths of American civil society. We are saved with each other. So this week, friends, I was walking around in this story, and I kept wondering, as I'm walking this road with Jesus, who's up in that tree? I don't need to tell you about the polls that show how divided this country is. You've seen those, you've read interviews, you've talked with people, you've probably read or engaged in more media about this election in these United States than you ever want to. And here we are in a country that is rent with division and strife. And friends, I am not so worried about the next 9 days as I am concerned with the next 9 weeks and the next 9 months and the next 9 years. Zacchaeus was not saved on his own. He was brought back into the household of God, or shown to be in the household of God, so that everyone could see. What is it for you? In a time when we see each other as nasty and deplorable, what will it be for you this week, next month? What will it be for us so that we can look around the table, we can look across the aisle and see daughters and sons of Abraham feasting together around the table together?